go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Just let go and let God have His way. Your sorrow will vanish, your night turn to day. Just let go and let God have His way. Once again, sing it unto Him now. Let go and let God. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Just let go and let God have His way. Your sorrow will vanish, your night turn to day. Just let go, let God have His way.
Amen. Good afternoon.
Let's see, one back out with us this afternoon. Let's see, we'll go back over. Remember, after the second service today, we'll be having our little ice cream get together here or the pastor appreciation time. So just remember that. Brother Donnie gave me one this morning. It says Susan's got upset stomach, so remember that. Remember Brother Paul? He had some dental work. Not doing, I mean, he's okay, but he's just having some problems with it. Still remember Sister Regina and Kathy. And little Sarah sick, got strep throat and ear infection, and she's had it for 3 or 4 times. So just remember little Sarah going to school and doing all the things that they do. Continue to bless that. Remember, the family of the cousin of Sister Esther and them that passed away. Just remember that family. Brother Danny gave me one that says, remember, still remember Brother Dean and Sister Peggy and Jackie, and also remember he's got to go get a CT scan this Tuesday. I remember that also. Anna Robert says a friend's father, asking prayer for that. And also Sister Milka gave me one that says, please remember a co-worker. She had brain surgery and needs a touch from the Lord during her recovery. So remember that also as we pray. That's all I want. Sister Anna, pray for the doctor. I mean, she met a doctor that, I don't know if he's many came to this church or he came to, I'm sorry. Amen. Just remember that doctor also as we pray. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon. Lord, be with the ones we mentioned here this morning and this afternoon. Lord, many, many prayer requests we're asking. Lord, just come down and touch them. Whatever the needs are, loss of the loved ones, Lord, ones that are sick, Lord, just be with them and bless them. Bless our services here this afternoon, Lord. Be with Wade. Give him strength. Lord, give us the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Forgive us for all of our sins. We love you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Amen. Let's sing page 195. He's the Lord of glory.
Oh, behold, what manner of man is this who steals the raging sea? He heals the sick, the lame, the halt, and makes the blind to see. He opens all the prison's doors and sets the captives free. Behold, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is he? He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I Am. the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He. He's the everlasting Father throughout eternity. Behold, what manner of man is this who healed the lame and halt? Who said, thy sins be forgiven thee, take up thy bed and walk. He stands as the mighty healer now, and cries, look unto me. Behold, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is he? He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He. He's the everlasting Father throughout eternity. Behold, what manner of man is this who stills the raging sea? To see, He opens all the prison's doors and sets the captives free. Behold, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is he? He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the mighty Prince is He. He's the everlasting Father throughout eternity. One man healed the lame and halt, who said, thy sins be forgiven thee, take up thy bed and walk. He stands as the mighty healer now, and cries, look unto me. Behold, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is he? He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He. He's the everlasting Father. Let's sing that chorus again. Who is He? He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the mighty Prince is He. He's the everlasting Father throughout eternity. Amen. Aren't you thankful that we serve a mighty God like that? Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's sing page 596, I Feel the Pull, key of F. Key of F. Let's just start with the chorus. I feel the pull, I hear the call, I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, and I agree. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull. At night I lay in bed. At night I lay in bed, and I begin to cry. And my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongue or pen the Spirit's groanings deep within. It must be God, my soul, 'cause I feel the pull.
Aren't you thankful for that pull?
I feel the pull. I hear the call. I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, and I agree.
Lord, please come.
Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull.
I went to hear His word.
I went to hear the word, and with each line and phrase, He was drawing me to live a higher plane.
There's a deep call to the deep.
There is a deep call to the deep, like a great magnet pulling me. I know for sure that I'll reach that goal, 'cause I feel the pull.
Oh, do you feel that pull?
I feel the pull.
Hallelujah.
I hear the call. Oh, His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, and I agree. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull.
Let's sing that second verse once again. I love that verse.
I went to hear the word, and with each line and phrase, He was drawing me to live a higher plane. But there is a deep call to the deep, like a great magnet pulling me. I know for sure that I'll reach that goal, 'cause I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I hear the call. I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, oh, and I agree. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull.
Lord, please come and take control.
Oh, Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull.
Give the Lord a clap of praise. Come on, give Him praise. Hallelujah. Is He worthy? Do you feel the pull? Aren't you thankful to be alive?
Aren't you thankful that He's pulling? The whole world is dying, but yet you're still alive. You still believe His word. Not everybody gets that same treatment. You're blessed people this afternoon. You're special people. Brother Michael, if you want to come.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Thou dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate that. Praise the Lord Jesus. I like watching Michael praising God. Amen. Like he's got the God in him to want to praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. We appreciate that. Amen. Wanna take up our offering, Thomas? Amen. As he passes that around, let's sing page number 70, He's Everything to Me, E flat. Sing it in E flat. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet?
Oh, He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. Yes, He's everything to me. For He's my Father, my brother, my sister, and my mother. He's everything to me. Oh, once again, oh, He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. Yes, He's everything to me. For He's my Father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Just one more time. Oh, He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. For He's my Father, my brother, my sister, and my mother. He's everything to me. Give me oil. Oh, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Just give me oil in my lamp and keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning to the break of day. And I will sing and I will sing. Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King of Kings. I will sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King. Give me oil. Oh, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Just give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning to the break of day. And I will sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King of Kings. I will sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King. It's not by might, well, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. It's not by might, and it's not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. And this mountain, in this mountain, shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my Spirit, said the Lord. Well, it's it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. And it's not by might, and it's not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. Your mountain and your mountain shall be removed. Your mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, said the Lord.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I hope that's what you came today to do, to get your mountain moved. Amen? We got Monday coming up. That's mountain enough for those of us that still work. We got Monday. We got a mountain that needs to be moved. Amen? I'll be glad when we don't have to look at the calendar. Man. Because this one's flying by so fast. Man, October's almost over with. We're into November. So God bless you. Good to be back. Good to be in the house of the Lord. There is a revival fire tent crusade. It's Alto Church, 750 Railroad Avenue, Alto, Georgia. So it's right up the road up here, just up the old highway. This road. October 24th at 6 o'clock, that would be today. And the 25th through the 29th, the brother gave this to Anna and said, it's time to unify. It's time for the body of Christ to unify. I agree. Amen. Amen. So if you'd like to support him, just go up the road probably about maybe 10 more miles. And it'll be up there in Alto, Georgia. So we announced it for him if you'd like to go. Amen. Remember, Brother Luis will be speaking for us Wednesday night. And Brother Bob is in, excuse me, he's in Mobile. They'll be on their way home probably tomorrow. Just remember Tata, their grandfather, and or the father, and he's a good brother. Been real faithful. He did all the Romanian translation for the Voice of God for years, and he did a real good job, and his son does it now. But we want to pray for them. So also the youth that are going to the camp, make sure you get everything ready. Pray. Go have a good time. Get something from God. Don't bring no boyfriends or girlfriends back. Amen, parents? Amen, that's what I thought. Okay. You can meet friends. Friends. No girlfriends or boyfriends. Abby. Bella. All right. Just get something from God. If you'll get something from God, he'll give you a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Amen? If you get something from God, he'll give you what you need. Amen? Also remember, just talked to Brother Mike Altig. He said, I am really, really glad. He needs some fellowship. He needs somebody to go talk to him. He said he really, really wanted me to come down. So I'm glad to be able to go. And Brother Aaron will be doing Sunday morning. Brother Bob will still be doing Sunday school. Brother Aaron will be doing Sunday morning. Then Brother Bob will be doing Sunday afternoon. Now, Brother Luis is going to be gone too. So if anything happens, Aaron, you and Bob, y'all thumb wrestle or something. And whoever wins gets to preach if it need two times preaching, each one of you. Okay? So, but we'll be back. Lord willing, I think June and I are going to go to Illinois and hunt for a few days. And we'll be back on Wednesday night for the service. November the 6th will be Bible study. We'll have Bible studies from 6 to 8 this coming, not this coming Saturday, but the next Saturday, all right, which will be November the 6th. November the 10th, Brother Marcus Becker from Germany will be with us. That will be on a Wednesday night. November the 14th, we'll have our church dinner, one service, and Brother Terrence will be doing his rolls and dessert thing here, probably starting Sunday, and then we'll start getting everything ready to go. And then we will have visitors that day. There's a group of young men and a family that's watching online from Ohio. They're going to come down and be with us for that weekend. So there'll be 7 or 8 or 10 of them. And so we'll want to welcome them with open arms. Then they'll be back 2 weeks later. They're going to Florida. But they've been streaming our services now. The dad has for a couple of years. Since 2015. All right. And then they called us and wanted to come down. So we said, yes. He called. He said, he asked. He called me Monday. He said, is that squash casserole really that good? I said, yeah, Brother Isaac, it's worth you coming to see us. He said, well, I was kidding. And he said, well, we'll be there. I said, oh, so I told sister she better cook two of them. What, three, two for y'all, one for me. So just don't leave me out. Amen. So let's turn to John 1:1. Let's get started. Just keep us all in your prayer. We got a busy November. We got a busier December. So let's just don't lose sight of what we're here for. We're here to worship God, and we're here to do it right. So we're here to do it with what? In spirit and in truth. All right. In spirit and in truth. All right. So that's what we want to do. We want to continue this thought, and we'll cut through some of the. We've been in the Old Testament a lot, but today we're going to draw it right into the New Testament, and we're going to see how this baby got here. This God child. This God baby, this baby that was God, and this God that became a baby. Amen? You ain't kidding, thank you, Lord. A toothless God. Wow. Created his own body. Wow. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray that you'd sanctify us for this journey that we're on, Lord, and for this time that we're going to be here today, Lord. We pray that we'll be attentive to you, Father, that we'll listen not to just a man, but we'll listen to you, Father. The one and true living God, and Jesus Christ is your name. Father, Lord, be with the ones that are sick, the ones that are not here, the ones that are traveling. Lord, be with the ones on the highways for sure, Lord, and just keep them safe. Lord, just bless each one, Lord, that's watching in. Father, we pray that you'd give them a special touch today, Lord, as some of them may be sick and couldn't get here. We pray that you would sanctify them too, Lord. Just bless each one of us. Take care of us. Be the active participant in this service. Lead us and guide us into all truth. Be with the foreign missionary brothers, Lord. We haven't prayed for them in a while, but I pray that you touch each one, Father. Be with the little church over there, the overcomers, Lord, where Brother Royal was, Lord, as they're searching for a new pastor. Lord, please, Lord, give them something special, Father. Give them something special that they, I know there's no man can fill that man's shoes. No man. But Lord, you said that one would go and one would come and one would go and one would come. So you're the one that'll bring the next one in, Father. You brought Brother Royal in. I believe you'll bring another one in right behind him, Lord. And I pray that you'll be with that group of people, Lord, because the sheep are there, Lord. They're looking to you, Lord. I pray that you'll just bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, it's been really on our heart. They're searching for a new pastor over there in the Philippines from Brother Royal's church. So just keep them in your prayers. They got a big church. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Now remember, John was to introduce the Messiah. All right? John was to introduce God in human flesh. No man had ever done that before. He was the hinge point between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He was still in the Old Testament under the law. Because the New Testament was after Christ died. And John died before he did. All right, but he was a prophet though. He was that hinge between, he stood between the Old Testament and the New Testament to do as Malachi said, to turn the hearts of the children, or to the fathers, to the children. All right? So he's going to take those Old Testament fathers and turn them to the children of the New Testament age. All right? He preached for 6 months. No recording of any miracle. The only thing he done was made people mad. It was recorded. And that's what got him killed. Because he started preaching marriage and divorce. Really? Yeah, that's what he said. He told Herodia, he told the whatever the guy's name was, he said, you can't marry her. That's your brother's wife. He's still alive. Well, they just whacked his head off and shut him up. They didn't shut him up, though. He did his job. He did what he was supposed to do. So there was a man sent from God whose name was John. But now watch. You take that parallel. That was John of Malachi 4 of the first part. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Then somebody's supposed to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Another Elijah. A John the Baptist that introduced the Messiah at the end of the Old Testament. Is this familiar? Then we've got another Elijah at the end of the New Testament that's going to introduce Christ. Amen? That we've seen with our own eyes and heard with our own ears. Because some of these, you know, you read the scriptures that we've seen with our eyes, we've heard Peter and all the different ones. What a wonderful time. I'm telling you, if it doesn't really strike to your heart what God did for us in this end time. And all the others can say the same thing when they were alive, Brother John, but they're not alive now. We're alive. We're to carry this thing on to the coming of the Lord. Amen? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, that's me and you. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not the son of Charles and Ella Branham, not the son of Samuel Peggy Dale, the son of God. To be sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And why do they try to take his name out? Well, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to try to take the name out. Because if you don't have a name, you don't have a family. I've never seen a family on earth that didn't have a name. It wouldn't exist. Well, what's your name? No, there's a name behind everything. Every time there's a baby dropped on the earth, there's a name behind it. Amen? And there's a progeny or there's a generation behind all that. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated in the Lord as blessing to the reading of the Word. Then this is where we're going to try to get to part of it today. Let's read Hebrews 10, verse 1. I preached on this how long ago, Donnie? 15 years ago or so? A body thou hast prepared me. And he keeps reminding me about it about every couple of months. So must have stirred his soul, I guess, huh? But that's what happened. He prepared a body for himself to dwell in. And he's preparing a body now for himself to dwell in. Amen? Hebrews 10, verse 1. Now watch. We're going to come back and look at the Old Testament just for a minute. But Hebrews 10, verse 1 says, look, for the law... Now remember, the law came with Moses through the prophets. Even Jesus came under the law. Amen? Jesus Christ came under the law that he might get us out from under all that by being the Savior to save us. That's what Savior means, is to save us. All right? So now look what it says here. Look, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing. You see, that Genesis 1:26 man was not, we were made in his image, okay? But we were made. We were created. There was an image that God saw of me and you that couldn't come in the Old Testament. None of that Genesis 1:26 man could be brought forth through the womb of a woman by sex. Everybody got that? That's your Genesis 1:26 man. Not by sex, not by blood, what it says right here. Born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Don't move it. Nor of the will of man, but of God. That's that Genesis 1:26 man. Genesis 1:26 and 27 man. Never had a beginning, never had an end, never had a mama, never had a daddy. God, that is a part of God. That's God made manifest in another form called his body or called his bride. Everybody got that? Amen? We've been through this 100 times. You ought to know that about Genesis 1:26. That's the bride of Jesus Christ and no one else. That's not even Moses. That's not even Daniel. That's not even John the Baptist. The least in the kingdom is greater than John. The least in the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Genesis 1:26. That's the kingdom of God. That's God made manifest in another form, not a second person. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the thing. So see, whatever it was in the Old Testament, you've heard Brother Brown talk about it. You've heard many preachers talk about it. It's types and shadows. Because see, we don't have to come to church today and drag a lamb or a turtle dove or a pigeon or keep one up 14 days. You understand what I'm saying? But they did. But that's all they could do. Because they couldn't develop that Genesis 1:26, man. There was no one to do it. God had to come himself by Isaiah 9:6. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. So we had to wait until then to get here. But that didn't negate the Old Testament and say, well, the Old Testament's not any good. No, that's all your types and shadows. Everything they did was a type and a shadow. And when Jesus stood out and stood from the baby to, we'll get to it a little bit later, when he stood, that's who it was, who all those symbols we're talking about. Pots, pans, candlesticks, remember, look, candlesticks was in the second court. Well, what happened in Revelations 1? There was the Son of Man standing in the middle of seven golden candlesticks. All those symbols were for one purpose, and that's to show Jesus Christ. But when he came, and those Old Testament prophets, the religious people of the world that knew the Bible by cover to cover, he came exactly the way they said he was supposed to come, and they didn't believe who he was. Amen? That's why I say all these people that believe Brother Branham's got to come back, I don't see it myself. It's not in the scripture nowhere, but it's just the words of somebody talking. And that don't mean nothing to me. But if he did come back, if he didn't come back the way you wanted him to come back, you'd be the same way. You'd be the same way. You wouldn't know who he was. You wouldn't know. He'd step right there and say, look, Jesus said, I am he. I'm the one. And they called him Beelzebub. Same thing with Brother Branham. They'd do the same thing to him. Because you know what? He didn't come the way they wanted him to come. He didn't say the words you wanted him to say. He didn't put up the tent in your yard. Whatever. But anyway, I'm looking for Jesus Christ to come back. That's all I'm worried about. Jesus saved my soul. Jesus is going to raise me. Jesus is going to sanctify me. Jesus is going to take me in a resurrection. I ain't worried about nobody else. Now, we're not going to get there without the words of that prophet, though. You will never take a body change without the words of that prophet. All right? Amen? For the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never, look, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually. They were doing sacrifices every day, pretty much, for this or that or the other. They had all kind of offerings that were made, but they continually made them, but they had to continually make them. Continually make the comers there into the ones that came up to the altar, burning fire, brought a substitute flesh, a lamb, a natural lamb, killed the lamb, put it on the fire, did whatever ritual they needed to do, and I say ritual, it wasn't a ritual, it was, hey, listen, it forgave them of their sins. But it became a ritual. Oh, really, whatever, just a lamb. Is it this time of the year? Yeah, go buy me one. That's what happened in the temple. Remember, they were selling lambs. They were selling turtle doves. They were selling this stuff so you didn't have to do it. Kind of like a drive-through service we have now. We get all this convenience. So they were just going to, well, just walk in, pay $15 or $10, and here's your lamb. We'll throw it on the altar for you. Well, that's why it made Jesus mad, because there was no effort involved. The effort was you put the lamb up. The effort was you looked that lamb in the eye. The effort was you knew that lamb was going to die. And you knew that lamb, if it didn't die, your sins were going to just keep heaping on you and heaping on you and heaping on you. So it wasn't a ritual until later on, but it became one because God told him, said, it's become a stench in my nostrils. But with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So, therefore, we understand that there was no new birth in the Old Testament. Because it would have made them perfect. If they had been born again. Now, these people in the message that believe that, I just can't see it because the Bible says they can't be perfect. Not by a sacrifice, not by an animal sacrifice. Listen, because we're going to read it in just a minute, in Isaiah 53, we've got to pull Jesus apart for a little while. Because he didn't give his body a ransom for your sin. He gave his soul a ransom for your sin. Big difference. Because that was the soul of God. The body was the body of Jesus. We know that was the body of God, but they've got to go to the funeral. Y'all be safe. Brother Joe's going with them, but they'll be back. Man, what about they were having a reunion and one of their people died. So let's just pray for the family. Amen. So for then would they not have ceased to be offered? In other words, if it would have, when Jesus died, there had to be no more, you didn't have to offer anything. He offered once for all and that was it. But before that, they had to offer every year. There was an ignorance offering. There was a this offering. There was a this. You know, even when Jesus was born, they were so poor that if you were so poor, you couldn't bring a lamb, you'd get two turtle doves or two pigeons. And you'd take that, and what would you do? He would wring the neck off of one, put the blood on the other. Listen, I'm telling y'all, when you look at all the sacrifices, do you know that in Solomon, when they dedicated that temple, the Bible says they could not number the sacrifices that were made. Now, you're talking about a bloody mess. I know some of you are deer hunters and some of you slaughtered pigs and could you imagine slaughtering one? But could you imagine in one place slaughtering hundreds of thousands of animals? But see, that's what God required in the Old Testament. He required that they did that. But when he hung on that cross, it only required one person. Because he had a soul that could come back into the believer. He had a soul that he can impart eternal life to me and you, and you didn't have to do that over and over again. But that animal soul, it just went away. Or the animal spirit, it didn't have a soul, but that animal part of him, that just went away. It didn't come back and make the guy better. No. He put the sacrifice on there. If he was a liar, he was still a liar. It just covered his lying for a year. He just went back and lied some more. Amen. But once we come to the supreme sacrifice, if we were a liar, we're not supposed to be a liar no more. Amen. Because that life can come inside me and clean me up. Amen. Just get back to some simple salvation, but guess what? We just might need it. Amen. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshiper once purged, what purging means, if any of you ever eat crawfish, there's a purging. You have to put them in water and they purge because they have mud in their guts. But that's the same thing with me and you. You got mud in your guts, you old crawfish. Yes. Amen? Amen? Because the worshiper once purged should have no more conscience of sins. Wow. Take that one home. I think what he's saying is we're not supposed to have a conscience of sin if we're born again by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hello? But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Every year, over and over again. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. That's why there's no new birth in the Old Testament. Or it would have took their sins away. But they were under Brother Brown said, a substitutionary or a substitute blood or a capo or covering to keep God from killing them. He could see the blood and not see them. You know, that still happens. Remember Brother Branham when he had the vision? God took him behind the door when he was condemning that old woman. He said, there's a red rim of blood around the earth. He said, it keeps me and you from being killed. Because even being a human being, if we were standing in front of a God in the way we're standing now, we couldn't stand it. Now, he couldn't judge our soul, but he'd have this guy to have to deal with in my spirit realm. See what we're moving to? See what we're moving to? We're moving higher. We're moving to get this spirit man of us cleaned up. Amen? For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now that was a natural body. Because if the Old Testament sacrifices were natural, they were all natural. They were all flesh of animals. Bulls, goats, turtle doves, pigeons, whatever more you want to say that they sacrificed. That was a natural flesh thing. So you got to understand that if that couldn't take away sin, there had to come something in flesh that could take away sin. Because in flesh is where we fail. All right, we've been over that over and over and over again. But let's go back just for a second to the Old Testament. Just stay right there. Because if we don't go back, we've got to go to the Old Testament, because I'll read you a quote here in just a minute where Brother Brown said that the Old Testament saints, the Old Testament prophets built the body of Jesus Christ. That's hard to understand if you just throw it out there, so maybe I'll try to help you understand it a little bit. Because look, the Word of God is a person. Everybody with me? In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was the Logos that came out of God, the Son of God that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, a person, a man, that said, let there be. And all this came into being. Amen? Is that right? Say amen. 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 That's the way it is. But now, then you take that person that said that person, there was something happened between there and the promise of the Genesis 1:26 man. Not inside that. We know Genesis 1:26 man was the spirit realm. Right. But when he put him in 2:7, something happened right in there that this, whatever this is right here, the Logos, the speech, the Word, could not become fully expressed. Everybody okay with that? Because being fully expressed, he was coming down in human flesh and live with his children, and we were going to be, let there be. Let there be James Colley. Let there be, good grief, can't remember your name, Sister Charlotte. I'm getting old too. We've known each other a long time, haven't we? But that's what God was going to do. Let there be. Not let there be sacrifices and animals and this and that and the other. He was going to bring his children, and we were going to what? We were going to converse with him, and he was going to be our father, and we were going to be his children, and we were going to live on this earth in the Garden of Eden. You say, how in the world you know that? Because that's what we're going to. That's what we're going to end up at. Amen? But remember, there's going to be a difference between that Garden of Eden and that Garden of Eden. That one had a devil involved. That one had a serpent. It had a beast in it. This one over here will not. When we get into that future home, there will not be a devil to have to worry about. And truly, if you're born again today, like I said before, your piece of your future home is right here. Because if you're born again today, the devil's not inside of you either. He doesn't reside now. He sure likes to talk in there. Yeah? Amen? He's talking to you now. So the Old Testament saints are prophets. Each one of them, what did they do? Son of man, prophesy. Prophesy. Most of the time, it was a prophecy of condemnation because Israel had turned from God, right? God said, do this, do this, do this, and you'll be okay. But if you don't do this, I'm going to send you somebody that's going to talk to you very sternly. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the different ones. But inside all that, what's God doing? He's preparing the people for the Messiah. He's preparing the people so that this man that's way up here, the Jehovah God that nobody can touch, that nobody can see, he's going to express himself, can't fully express himself through Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all those different ones because they're not part of that Genesis 1:26 man. They're not the bride of Jesus Christ. They have a position, but they're not bride. Everybody see that? It's not belittling them. Listen, they're very powerful people. Listen, they can do more with the Holy Ghost while they were on earth than sometimes we can. They did more with an anointing than sometimes we can do with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our soul. That's why Brother Brown says we're living way below our privileges. Our privileges are is that we can do that and more. We can do that plus. Because remember, every one of them had a flaw. Moses, he was a murderer. Murderer. He killed a man. Right? David committed adultery. Killed his best friend. Look at all the different ones. They all had a flaw. But what they were doing was they were building a part of the body for God to step out on when he came into human flesh. Because when Jesus came, because Isaiah had to say, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. That's not possible. I will read it in a minute. Mary says, how's that possible? She was even at 16 years old. She had a little bit. She knew about how babies were coming, right? How do me not knowing a man can have a baby? He said, with God, all things are possible. Well, what was she doing? She knew she was referring to Isaiah, where a virgin shall conceive. But Isaiah had to say that so that God could put a seed in a womb and bring forth a child. And then when the baby was born, to us a child is born, a son is given. There's another scripture. We could spend days, thousands of scriptures that Jesus, that body was built coming down through the Old Testament. And then finally, here he was. He stepped right out. And listen to this. Let's read this quote then. Number one, this is from the masterpiece. And then come finally the great head. The head of all of it. The rest of the body just spoke of it. The foundation was laid by the patriarch. But the body was built by the word, which was the prophets. So the prophets, what did they do? A prophet catches the thought of God, and then he's the mouthpiece that doesn't speak his own words. Because listen, Isaiah, according to the Bible, Isaiah was a young man. Even when he died, he was very young. So he wasn't an old guy. And he steps out one day and he said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. And he turns around and walks back in the house. Because remember, they weren't required to explain what they said. Amen. They were just required to say what God told them to say. Amen. Amen? But a body was built by the word. They were the word of God for that day. But the body was built by the word, which was the prophets. And here comes the head of all of it. Jesus came on the scene. There, when this headpiece was put upon it, we find in him the entire handiwork of God. Each one of them was a piece, a finger, a toe, an eye, an ear, a nose, a mouth, the different pieces to the body. But he was the body. He was the one that God put it together. All right, listen. There, when the headpiece was put upon it, we find in him the entire handiwork of God. We find in him the perfect reflection of the Word, for he was the Word. Amen. The fullness of the Word. See, Isaiah was not the fullness of the Word. Jeremiah was not the fullness. They had their part. Ezekiel had his part. Son of man, prophesy. But watch. The fullness of the Word. Now again. I didn't put that in red, but I should have. Now again. Now who's Brother Brown? He's preaching the masterpiece. He's talking about Jesus Christ back there. He's talking about the old prophets back there. But he's got to make it current. Now again, God has the perfect masterpiece again. He's already talked about the prophets. He's already talked about Jesus Christ. Who's he talking about now? Me and you. Me and you. This is the way we got to come. We got to come, Old Testament. Jesus Christ being our Savior. And now, again, God has the perfect masterpiece again. Because the headstone's back. We'll talk about that later on. Maybe some of you don't understand that, but we've got to understand it because that's who he was. There's your headstone right there, Jesus Christ. The perfection of God, the totality of God, the fullness of the Word. So let's go to Isaiah 7 verse 13. Let's read that over again like we did this morning. And he said, hear ye now, house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is by interpretation we know that is God with us. All right, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. Now, this is what the child's going to step out on. This is what God's going to step out on. He's going to step out on that word. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Sounds like a pretty important guy. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there's Isaiah. We're going to go to Isaiah 53 because to me, Isaiah 53 gives you the whole picture of God and what he's going to do. So you need to wake up just for a few minutes so we can read this, okay? Just wake up just for a few minutes. Okay? Because if you're not, I'm going to walk back there and scream at you, okay? This brother that's coming in a couple of weeks, that's coming in at the when we eat in November the 14th, the dad of the whole group is the one that's got on his phone, when his phone rings, it goes, "Wake up!" That's what his ringtone is. And it's me. He downloaded it and put it on his phone. So now when the phone rings, it says, "Wake up!" So anyway. Who hath believed our report? That's my question to you. Who hath believed our report? Isaiah 53 is writing this. He is reporting. I'm reporting this. Who's going to believe it? Alright, that's what he's saying. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm or the strength or the might of the Lord revealed? How is the arm of the Lord revealed? Through Jesus Christ. But to get Jesus Christ, when you watch, listen, when this man that we were talking about, this right here, back in the Old Testament, when he comes down and gets into human flesh, what does he bring with him? He brings that Genesis 1:26 man with him. Folks, that's the soul of God. Genesis 1:26 is not a different soul of God. It is the soul of God. It's the attribute that me and you are before the foundation of the world. That's us right there. And he brings that with him. He don't leave it up there. He brings it with him. Listen, that's why you and I can understand this word of God more than anybody, theologian, whatever you want to say, because we're part of it. We helped write it. I'll clap too. We helped write this Bible. Because we're part of God, not a different substance. So as that substance moved, we moved. Brother Brown said, you didn't know anything about it though because you were born down here, born in sin. What? It was blacked out. That's what he said. It was blacked out. Jesus knew where he came from because he's the one that brought it. Amen. The guy that brought it ought to know where it came from. Right. All right? So he knew before Abraham was, I am. Yeah. That's why John 17, he could say, Father, I prayed for them. Yeah. What? Them Genesis 1:26 people. I prayed for them people because I saw their journey before I even got here. Yeah. And I know they're going to have problems. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a baby. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. As a root out of dry ground, he hath no form or comeliness. In other words, he wasn't the prettiest baby. Like Michael. Was he your prettiest baby? Benjamin's not here, so. He was your prettiest baby? Okay, I figured he was. So anyway. He's still a pretty good-looking kid. Man, grown adult. Amen. But look, he hath no form or comeliness. In other words, he didn't come the way that Caiaphas, maybe Caiaphas was born in a hospital with a gown and all the smelly good stuff. But when he heard this man, they say is the Messiah, was born over a manure pile with swaddling clothes, which was the cloth they put over the the sweaty ox to keep him from getting sores and blisters. That's what swaddling clothes is, folks. It's like the horse blanket. So guess what it's closest to? The horse. And whatever's on that horse is on that blanket. That's what they had to wrap Jesus in. Because he didn't have a Carter's or a Oshkosh bagosh. Isn't that right, Joyce? I bet Ellie's not been wrapped in swaddling clothes ever. But look, this is the way he came. This is the way God came. That's why I was this morning or yesterday, I was thinking about it. I said, God, this is the way you came. You chose to come this way. Why? Even though he's the God of glory, he don't want to be, when he was down here on earth, he didn't want to be up here. He wanted to be down here with the lowest of people. Now, we know he's the God of glory. We know he deserves all praise. We know he deserves all us to bow our knee to him. But while he was down here, he was a servant. Amen. He become a king. Amen. He was a root out of dry ground. Wait a minute. Yeah, no form or comeliness. And we shall see him. There's no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, if you see something beautiful, what's the first thing you do? It catches your attention. You see a beautiful flower, a beautiful picture, a pretty car, an old car that's been really fixed up real good. That's beauty. But he walked through a crowd and nobody knew who he was. Amen? He walked through a crowd and probably nobody knew who he was. That's our God. He is despised and rejected of men. So guess what? So are you. A man of sorrow. Wow. Acquainted with grief. We think we have problems. Have you ever just sat and read this? Take it part by part. And we hid our face from him. He wasn't even somebody we wanted to look at. He was despised. And we, in other words, we didn't hold him up. We esteemed. When you esteem somebody, you hold them up in honor. While he was on earth, nobody ever lifted him up. All people, well, they tried, but they didn't care about this guy from Galilee. Wasn't he from Bethlehem? Wasn't he from Nazareth? Does anything good come out of Nazareth? Even that's what Philip or one of them said. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. When he was hanging on the cross, they said, Caiaphas said, he can't even save himself. How in the world, how is he going to save other people? He just didn't know. He was prophesying that he was not going to save himself. That he was going to give his soul, he was going to give his soul a ransom. But they couldn't see the soul of God. It was hid inside that flesh. Amen? Amen. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Didn't deserve it. But he took it. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we get physical healing. With his stripes on his body, his flesh body. All right? But remember, that's not what saves us. It heals us. That's not what saves us, though. It's that soul is what saves us. Because we'll see right here. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Wow. Peter. Bless the Lord, I'll be right there with you the whole time. I got you back. And I figured Peter was a pretty burly guy. I mean, Peter wasn't no little wimp. Now, little John, he was running around naked everywhere, so I don't know about John, the Revelator, but, well, it is. It's true. He just ran off naked. Somebody pulled his clothes off of him. He just took off through the bushes. But there was Peter, though, with his sword. This ain't going to happen to you, Lord. I'll take care of that right now. Guy touched him, and he whacked the guy's ear off. Jesus said, Peter, this thing ain't over with yet. You're fighting with flesh and blood. I'm fixing to go give my life so that we can have a spiritual battle. but you're going to deny me three times before the sun comes up the next day, because that's the cock crowing that many times. It's the daylight coming, all right? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. There was nobody there with him. Nobody. Even the ones that loved him. And you know, even there was little John, different ones that they just scattered. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God Almighty. He was oppressed. Afflicted. Yet he never complained one time. He never complained one time. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He didn't even make a case for himself. When he come to the end, when they were going to crucify him, he never made a case for himself. He could have made a case for himself. He could have said, I didn't do those things you said I was doing. Because remember, Pilate said, are you not going to say anything? See, he just stood there and didn't even, they just looked at him. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off naturally. Remember, I preached on that a long time ago. Who shall declare his generation? Because remember, his natural genealogy was cut off that day at Calvary. He was a man. He could have had children. He could have had a progeny. He could have had a generation of Jesus's naturally. But that's not why he came. He didn't come to make a natural lineage. He didn't come to make a natural kingdom. He came to make a spiritual kingdom. All right? The natural kingdom is what was killing people. So he came to bring a spiritual kingdom. But who shall declare his generation? Well, that's, if you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're absolutely declaring his generation. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul. See, it's been talking about his body the whole time. He, by his stripes were healed. We know that when Jesus resurrected out of the grave, that there was only nail prints in his hand and the thing in his side. His body had been preserved. But his soul was what you better look at. A lot of men, their wounds got better. But there's no man could die and resurrect and come back inside you. Only God himself. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Or his what? Progeny. His generation. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the now look, here we go again. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So what did you get saved by? You get saved by the pure, unadulterated soul of God. Because remember, they stood up to him one day and said something, and he said, there's no man good. Oh, it's a good master. And he said, there's nobody good. No one good but God. You know why? Because he was living in a flesh body. All right? Which was dying. Amen? It was God, but it was dying. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath what? Poured out his soul unto death. Not in death. His soul can't die. Your soul can't die. But he poured out his soul. Brother Branham said he played the part of death. We'll get to that later about hanging on the cross. That he didn't die. His flesh died because the soul was removed. Well, isn't that what happens when you die, when you humanly die? Your body dies and your soul goes somewhere else. The only good thing about him, though, is he resurrected and came back inside of you. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And that's me and you. If you don't know what transgression is, that's me and you. So with his flesh, it was a sacrifice. The flesh had to die. What did John say one day? He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He was identifying that that was the sacrifice. And Jesus, he said, well, I need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, I know that, but to fulfill the Old Testament, showing he's still under the Old Testament, to fulfill the Old Testament, the sacrifice had to be washed before it was sacrificed. Amen. The lamb had to be washed, put up. He said, suffer it to be so, to fulfill all righteousness. He was fulfilling the Old Testament by being baptized. He didn't need to be baptized. Jesus didn't need to be baptized. He was, because what did John say? I need to be baptized you, of you. He said, no. He said, I know that. But look, you're the high priest. You're the high priest. I'm the sacrifice. You've already identified. You said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So that lamb's got to die. That lamb had to die, and there stood the high priest to wash the sacrifice. And that's what John did. He washed the sacrifice. And then Jesus went what? The Spirit of God came upon him and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Same way with you at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God does the same thing. Amen? So now let's go to Luke 1 verse 26 real quick. Don't want to try to be too long. We're going to have a little time of fellowship downstairs when we get done. Luke 1 verse 26 is in the sixth month. The angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, there was a virgin down there. That was one good thing come out in Nazareth. There was a virgin there. And she was espoused to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation. In other words, what's he doing here? And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9 is fixing to be fulfilled. And I like the way Brother Branham, he set that up. He said, you know, he said probably Mary and Joseph talking about getting married, and they would be sitting out on the porch. And they'd be sitting there, and they'd be talking, they'd be going, they'd read maybe Isaiah 9, Isaiah 7, and then starting a conversation. And Mary would go, wow, I wonder who that's going to be. Yeah. Joseph said, I don't know, said, but he's got to come out of here, and he's got to come out of Bethlehem. We'll read it in just a minute. He's got to come from these different places and put everything's got to come together perfect. Nazareth. They were sitting in Nazareth. She was a virgin. Okay. So the stage is set. But remember, she is like the woman at the well. Now, not exactly, you understand, but she is in the same situation. She had read, we know when the Messiah comes. Well, that's the same thing Mary said. That's why Mary didn't really have a problem with it. She was just wondering how it was going to happen. Because she didn't know a man. But she knew that Isaiah 9 and Isaiah 7 said, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. And said, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. There's that other promise I was telling you about. Sitting on the throne of David in the millennium. A promise that God gave him. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Amen? Overshadow thee. So God created egg and sperm, placed it in Mary, And I'll read it here in just a minute. I think I got her. I may wait till later on. That she was just an incubator. There was nothing connected. She was not his mother. We know that. But God had to use her because he said in Isaiah, the way I'm going to get into the human race and purify it is this way. Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9. I'm going to come by a virgin. I'm not going to come by sex desire. And this woman Mary's not going to have any sensation about it. Or then it would be me and human race doing something that we really wasn't supposed to do. And that's what Brother Branham was talking about. He said, you see what you got God doing if you just give the sperm to Mary and she produces the egg. All right, so God, what? The Creator created His own self a body. The full creation. The whole thing, egg and sperm. Fulfilling Isaiah. Now let's go to Luke 2 and 4. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because remember, could anything good come out of Nazareth? He came out of Nazareth, but remember the Bible, I'm going to read it here in just a minute, in Micah, that he had to be born in Bethlehem because the prophet Micah said he was going to be born. See, he had to be what the prophets built the body and told him where he's going to come from. Amen. All right? Now, see, you say, well, Brother Wade, this is boring. That's you! God put you in this Bible! You got to get yourself out of that Bible! And see where God put you and placed you. He sacrificed Himself so that you and I could have eternal life. And be that Genesis 1:26 man that was before the foundation of the world. That can't sin, never will sin, never gonna sin. Which is called Bethlehem because he was the house and lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. Remember, he never touched her till after she was birthed the child. Being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Now, oh, hold it right there. Flesh has come into being. Flesh. If she brought forth, that means she birthed a son. Wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Like I said before, swaddling clothes is like a horse blanket. And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Why'd he put him in a manger? It's where lambs live. They live in a barn. They live in a manger. And there were in the same country preachers. Abiding in the field, keeping watch over their congregation. Some of you by night because you're asleep. Yeah, I'll, Brother Darty, every time I say that, he says, help us. At least he's awake enough to say that. Brother Darty's been here, and Brother Collie's been here as long as these walls have been here. Thank God for that. You'll get your reward, buddy. I promise you that. Y'all been faithful. And there were in the same kind. That's what it was. He can't, why it had to be shepherds. Or listen to that message. It come to preachers. The salutation, the first message came to the preachers. And what did the preachers do? They took it and they watched over their flock by night. Look, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them and the glory of the Lord shone round about them and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, somebody else asleep? And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Look who they're identifying who this little baby is. Amen. Which is Christ the Lord. Yes. Wow. When you say those two words, you've went all the way back into eternity. Because Christ is the anointed one. Christ is the one that stood and said, let there be. And this will be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let's go check this out. There was no Bible for them to read. Except the Old Testament, scrolls. and they were shepherds. They were preachers. Let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, because that's what the angel told them where it was going to be at, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Okay, let's go to Micah 5, verse 2. It says, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be a little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now let's go to Matthew 2, verse 1. I want you to understand something. Even Herod was a tetrarch, or a ruler. Even Herod, watch. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Do you know this is how they know that Jesus was not born at 1 BC or AD 1? He was born in 4 BC because Herod died sometime before it became AD. Everybody got that? Even Brother Branham brings that out. He was born in 4 BC. The reason he was born in 4 BC is because Herod was the ruler, and he died like a couple years later. But look, you got to be careful, because he's going to kill the babies that are 2 years old and back. Everybody got that? This child that they're fixing to go see, he's going to be a child, not a baby. Okay? When the three wise men come to visit him, it's not a baby laying in a manger. No, it's a child. It's a young child. That's why he kills all the babies from 2 years down. All right? Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. It wasn't kept quiet. But why didn't Caiaphas, and why didn't the ones that... Caiaphas had to be alive. Because he was probably in his 60s or 70s, and Jesus was in his 30s. He had to be 20 or 30 years old. What I'm saying is there's history behind all this. There's history that they can say, Herod was troubled. There was a baby born, supposedly be a virgin woman in Bethlehem. Where was he supposed to be born? Bethlehem. Thus it is written by the prophet. Verse 5. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, in other words, there's all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. They knew where he's going to be born. But he came a different way. For thus it is written by the prophet Micah, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. So he got his astronomers out. What time did that star appear? Well, it appeared 2 years ago. It took us 2 years to get here, okay? All right. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, not baby. And when they found him, when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. Well, he wasn't. He's going to kill him. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come, see, they were looking for something. They saw the star. That's the problem that people have with the cloud. They just weren't looking for something. I was looking for something. I was for looking for Christ to come back in a cloud. They weren't looking for it, so they deny it. Same way with, I bet you people denied this and said, it ain't nothing, but three wise men knew what they were talking about. Amen? You and I know what we're talking about. We saw and believed everything that's told to us by this prophet. The problem was they didn't believe those Old Testament prophets. They killed them. Jesus said, you wiped their tombs off. But you're the one that put them in there. Wow. When they had heard the king, they departed. Lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, what was it? They presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which, thank God for a prophet. Gold is deity, frankincense, dedication, and myrrh is put on you when you die. So it's deity dedicated unto death. They told him exactly how he was going to die. Told him exactly how that was going to happen. All right, we're going to read these two quotes, and then we're done. All right? Everybody all right? God's wrapped gift. Listen to a prophet. It ought to be a real attractive to the people. Little Jehovah crying like a baby. God made flesh in a package. God, who covers all space and time, was before there was a world or a star or a molecule, wrapped himself in a little package and was laid in a manger in a stable where the manures of the cattle and sheep and things up over that stable and this little manger on straw or hay, Jehovah was laying there crying like a baby. Can you imagine it? Let's go to the next one. Super sign. Jehovah God became man, took on our stock, crossed himself from God and became man. There's the sign. He was God and became man. Not rich man, but poor man. This is the super sign. You've asked for a sign, said God. I'll give you one, an everlasting sign. He could have come otherwise, as I've said, but a baby. Why did he become a baby? When that first little toothless mouth opened in that manger, on that first crib, first Christmas morning in his little manger crib, and the first little yell went from his voice, that was God crying. He had to start somewhere. That was God crying. Jehovah crying, a man. Came from God and was man, ever wit man. Came to the world with nothing, but still man. What was he trying to do? What was he purposing? He cried like a baby in the manger. He played like a boy on the street. He worked with his daddy in the carpenter shop. He toiled like a man, but yet he was Emmanuel. He came exactly the way the Bible said he would, yet he came a different way. This is the super sign. God dwelling in the creation that he created. A body thou hast prepared me. The super sign. It shall be a sign unto you. He was so poor that when he came to earth, he came through a borrowed womb. A borrowed womb of a woman, and had to borrow a grave to be buried in. God, a virgin shall conceive without sexual interception. Jehovah borrowed the womb of Mary, a woman, to perform the duty that he'd given everlasting sign. And was so poor on earth, after 33 years and of half of ministry, he had to borrow a grave to be buried in. Can you imagine? Talk about immaculate conception. What meanest thou anyhow? That God that said, let there be. That there was so many, there's so many titles that you can't write them in a book. He never had a beginning and he'll never have an end. He didn't hurt until he came to be a human. He didn't cry until he became a human. But he did it for me and you. He didn't do it for himself. Listen, he's God. But he decided. That was his plan. He knew you and I were going to fall. He knew we were going to need salvation, and he was going to have to do it in flesh, because he could not die as Jehovah God. He had to die as a human mortal man. And he died for me. And he died for you. You see what now? If you turn God down, look what you're turning down. Every sinner that turns God down has to crawl over and walk over the cross to get to hell. Because that's what stood between you and hell, was the cross. A man. You, a man, make yourself God? No, it was God that had made himself a man. He came a little bit different way. What about me and you? We need to come a little bit different way than what we've come before. We used to say in ball, we'd say we need to up our game a little bit. We need to all up our game a little bit. Be a little more sincere, read a little more, pray a little more, study a little more. Because if God, who did not have to do these things ever, he decided that's what he was going to do. And he gave his body a sacrifice, but he gave his soul an offering for your sin. Because he can come back inside of you. He can come back inside of you and make you just as perfect as he is. No sacrifice in the Old Testament could do that. And listen, God didn't send a prophet in the end time to make that any different. I believe he came to magnify what Jesus Christ did for us. Not to make it different, but to magnify. Because what's the magnification of God? It's going on up the statue of perfect man. It's seeing that the headstone has come to me and you. That the Son of Man ministry is here, that you and I can live different. Listen, don't try to be odd. You be like Jesus Christ and you will be odd. Because that's what I'm telling you. When we start reading now the life of Jesus as he gets older and goes up through this stage of his life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if that's the Son of Man and that's the way he acted, and the results he got, then if the Son of Man ministry is here, it's got to be the same. They're going to hate you. You're going to have to be this way and that way. Even your own friends, even maybe your own message friends, because of doctrine and because of a lot of things, we've been cast out. But you know what? Thank God. If that's the pattern that brings the Son of Man back in the end time in a group of people, then bring it on. Let's stand to our feet. Then bring it on. If that's the way it's got to be, bring it on. If God, who didn't have to do these things, he didn't have to be smitten, he didn't have to be stricken, he didn't have to get up on a cross, he didn't have to sit there and let the Romans spit on him and drag his clothes off and part his garment and all that stuff. I mean, come on. Then what's the little sacrifice that we need to do to serve God? We're going to sing a song. I think they got a song that we're going to put on the board.
Yeah, the brothers in the back can bring the song, The Goodness of God.
And Sister Zoe's going to play for us.
Zoe's going to play for us. So y'all Amen. Sing along with us. It's a song that Bella have been singing here recently, but we're going to sing it as a congregation.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Let's sing it to him. If you have anybody has a need, we're going to go eat in just a few minutes.
We'll just start with the first verse. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. The moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
And all my life you have been faithful.
Sing it to him.
And all my life you have been so, so good. Oh, in every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love your voice. Second verse.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in the darkest night. You are close just like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived.
Can you say that today? You've lived in the goodness of God. You've lived in it. You're living in it today.
In all my life, you have been faithful. In all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Because your goodness,
your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Oh, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Once again, your goodness is running after.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
And all my life,
in all my life, you have been faithful.
Amen.
Oh, in all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Amen. Amen. Good job. Good job, Joey. Always. I'll sing of the goodness of God. That goodness of God started before the foundation of the world. And it's made manifest itself right here today in a bride. You gotta love him. If you don't love him, then you gotta love the devil. They ain't but two people to love. Amen? Do you love God? Is his mercy enduring forever? Do you read the Bible and read the Bible like he's talking to you? And that's you that's in the Bible. I want you to find yourself in the Bible. Find yourself in the scripture. And know that God puts you there because he loves you. Amen? You ready to go downstairs? Have a good week. Let's bow our heads and pray, and we'll pray over the cake and all, but there'll be some cake and ice cream and some little favors and stuff, and then there'll be some gifts down there to give to our pastor, for this is Pastor Appreciation Month, and we sure do appreciate our pastor. Amen. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you give us. Now, I pray that you sanctify the food that we're about to eat, Lord. Give us a little time of fellowship, Lord. to honor our pastor, Lord, that as those shepherds were standing out in the field over their flock, we've had a shepherd that stood over us for a long period of time, Lord, and he's nurtured us up, Lord, in admonition of God. Now we're going to take and turn and show the gratitude that we have, the little bit that we can as being human beings, Lord, yes. Just showing our gratitude back to him, Father. We pray that you'd just be with each one that's not here. Be with the ones that are sick, Lord, the ones on the highways. We ask you to sanctify us for this journey. Until we meet together, Lord, on Wednesday night, give Brother Luis the words of eternal life to speak to us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Go downstairs. Just have a good time.
All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Your goodness is running after.